You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, we continue right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk some football right now, and what an honor it is to welcome in a great NFL safety, played with the Chargers and the New England Patriots this past week, was named to the Patriots Hall of Fame. And now during football season, you can watch Rodney Harrison on Football Night in America as he serves as an analyst. And let me remind you that NBC kicks off the NFL's 100th season with Packers and Bears on September 5th. So we welcome in the newest member of the Patriots Hall of Fame, and that's Rodney Harrison. Rodney, congratulations. Thank you for the time, and how are you?
And I'm doing well. It was a tremendous honor, the fact that the fans got a chance to vote me in. I had two teammates, Mike Vrabel and Richard Seymour. Have a lot of respect for those guys on and off the field. And, man, I'm just very thankful to the fans. I'm very grateful for Coach Belichick giving me an opportunity to come to the Patriots and play.
Well, I grew up as a big Patriot fan. I actually had a large Rodney Harrison Super Bowl 38 jersey, so I don't want to make you feel too old. But when I look back at the Patriots' career and a lot of those Super Bowl wins and that run, you mentioned it. Mike Vrabel was there for a long time before you. Richard Seymour was there as well. And that had to mean so much, that knowing the importance and how much the fans do love Vrabel and Seymour, that they put you in before Mike and Richard.
Well, to me, I mean, it was kind of bittersweet, because you like to be up there as a finalist, but also you don't want to pin yourself against your own teammates, guys that, you know, are more than deserving to be in, you know, having that honor. That's a tremendous honor. And to me, it made it even more special, because it was the actual fans, the fans that came there, the fans that were, you know, at home watching our games and judging us and critiquing us and knowing how we played, understanding, you know, the adversity that we faced. That was really sweet. That was just a really sweet feeling, knowing that the fans had a great deal of respect for me. I still love those guys. Those guys eventually will make it in, but, man, I am honored. 29th player to be chosen in the Patriots Hall of Fame. Not bad for a kid from Markham, Illinois.
And I'll tell you this, when other fans talk about you, they go, man, I would love to have Rodney Harrison on my team, but when we go up against Rodney Harrison, it's absolutely a pain in the ass, and I can't stand the guy. I remember Belichick always talking about how hard you practice. You instantly became a fan favorite in New England, and then you performed in the big games, interceptions against Peyton, Big Ben. I remember you picking off McNabb, obviously, a few times, and then also the late, great Steve McNair. But when you reflect this week and you look at all the memories and all the big plays, what are the moments that stand out to you with your time with the Patriots?
You know, I just think, you know, when I came to the Patriots, one of the reasons why I came to the Patriots is because I believe in Coach Belichick. Over the extended period of contract, I turned down over $4 or $5 million from the Denver Broncos to come to the New England Patriots. And, you know, you sacrifice sometimes financially. We've seen Tom Brady said, hey, the reason why I take less is so I can be surrounded and give the organization leverage and flexibility to be able to sign better players. And that's why I think you see Tom Brady have an extended period of in his career where, you know, he's playing really well and he's playing for a long time because he has really good players around him. But if you're greedy and say, hey, I want all the money, I want Russell Wilson type money, you're not going to be able to surround yourself with that supporting cast that you need to have that success.
You know, football is a business, and your Patriot career started off with a business decision when I was really excited to see how you and Lawyer Malloy were going to be in the secondary, and Bill releases Lawyer Malloy, who was also a fan favorite. You guys get spanked by Lawyers. He goes to Buffalo week one, 31-0, and then you return the favor at the end of the season, defeating the Bills. When you look back at that, with how popular Lawyer was and him also being a member of the secondary, how difficult was that to walk into that Patriot locker room and then, bam, right before the season starts, they release Lawyer Malloy?
Heck, it wasn't difficult because I had just been released. So you talk about it being a business. I understand that it's a business, and Lawyer understood that it was a business. And if you can get another guy in here, and if they don't want to pay you the $4 or $5 million that you are set to make, then somebody else's. And Lawyer went on. He got a bunch of money from Buffalo. He had a successful time there, as well as Atlanta Falcons. I wasn't concerned about Lawyer. As much as I wanted to play with Lawyer, I knew that Lawyer would be fine. I was trying to reestablish myself. I was walking in that locker room, and I didn't care whose foot I stepped on or who I offended. I was trying to go out there and make and establish my foundation of who I was. So if it meant, you know, somebody losing their job, hey, it is what it is, because it's a business, it's cutthroat, and I knew Lawyer would move on to end up, you know, going to Buffalo and doing some good things. But heck, man, at the end of the day, I was trying to come to the Patriots to set my foundation and to win some football games.
Rodney Harrison here with us on CBS Sports Radio, newest member of the Patriots Hall of Fame. I have to bring up Freddie Mitchell because I think he never stops talking. He really dissed your secondary before Super Bowl 39, was just referring to numbers. I heard a story all these years later told by Troy Brown that Freddie confronted Troy on the streets in Jacksonville before the big game. How do you look back at the whole Freddie Mitchell incident?
I just think that I think he's learned from that. I mean, you don't talk trash, especially you don't talk trash to players like me or a team or organization, because when he started talking trash to our secondary, it offended the entire team. And I've said this before, I thank Freddie Mitchell for that, because that was the little extra that we needed right there to defeat them. And I thought we played well. I thought we made some big plays. We sacked them. We confused Donovan. I think you saw Donovan get really confused. I think they were exhausted. You know, it was just coaching. It was playing. It was guys being unselfish. And at the end of the day, when you fight for your teammates and you believe in what your coach is doing, you set yourself up to have a lot of success, and that's what we had.
I don't think he's learned, though. I follow Freddie on Twitter and get to see him a little bit since I do live in Philadelphia. And we had Donovan McNabb on the other week, and he said some things about Carson Wentz, and then Lane Johnson chimed in, and then all of a sudden Freddie Mitchell goes, "Well, Donovan McNabb ruined my career." Like, it seems like he's still delusional if he thinks Donovan McNabb ruined his career, right?
Yeah, and to me, man, you know, you never want to put, you know, you never want to say another player affected your career. You had the ability to go out there and make catches and do the things and establish your own career. I just think that it's not the right message that you're sending. And then also, you got to be one of those players where you feel like you don't have any regrets. I look at my career, I don't have any regrets. I left everything out on the field, so I don't have to sit back here and feel good about criticizing somebody or feeling good or feeling like I have to go criticize somebody to justify what I did or didn't do. So that's something that's going to stick with him the rest of his life, because he feels like he didn't really fulfill his goals and his accomplishments. Whereas me, I felt like I left everything on the field. That's why I practiced so hard. And, you know, you say what you want. But my biggest compliment was when Coach Belichick said I was the hardest practice player that he ever coached in 35 years. That means more to me than a trip to the Hall of Fame, because that's what I try to tell young people when I talk to them. You have to establish yourself through practice. You can't take anything for granted. And that's why, you know, practice is so important in establishing good routine and good fundamentals.
You mentioned the Hall of Fame. So you get in the Patriots Hall of Fame, and then people will start to say, well, if you get in that Hall of Fame, the next one is the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. You were in that 30-30 club, first ever player to do so, 30 interceptions, 30 sacks. If you had to make your case to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer, I know it's such a crapshoot. Look at a player like Jerry Kramer. He had to wait all those years, which was the joke. What would Rodney Harrison try to make his case to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer?
Well, I don't have to sit here and do anything. I think my record speaks for itself. I think when you look at my career, the plays that I made, the length of, you know, how long I played, the Super Bowl champions and championships, and just my impact on the greatest dynasty of all time, I think it kind of speaks for itself. But, you know, that's not my decision. And, you know, the Patriots, that's why I said the Patriots Hall of Fame really means something special to me, because it's the fans. When you go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you don't have a lot of those guys watching you play. You don't have them watching you play every single week, understanding the good, the bad, all the adversity that you face. So to me, it was just really nice and comforting to know that people respected the way I played. They didn't go off of rumors or, you know, past reputation or anything like, oh, Rodney Harrison, dirty player. Man, put on the tape and watch me play. And there's not one guy, I don't care who it is that you're talking about, any other safety that was more passionate than me, that made more plays overall when you talk about tackles, sacks, interceptions, forced fumbles, all those different things. So You know, if they don't want to vote me in, that's fine. I'm good with the Patriots. I got a couple Super Bowl rings, and I'm healthy. So, man, I'm not mad at anyone.
Who are the wide receivers, when you take a look back at your career, that you respected the most and you had the most fun going up against, that you knew it was going to be a challenge?
Yeah, Jerry Rice was always a guy that stuck out to me because of his work ethic and just how great he was. You know, when we identify with the greatest receiver of all time, we always identify with Jerry Rice. Randy Moss was always a pleasure to go up against, and whether it was, you know, against him when he was playing with somebody or as a teammate, because you look at Randy and you don't really know his level of professionalism. The guy was a true professional. He worked his butt off, and he was a great playmaker, good teammate. Those are the guys. Marvin Harrison was another guy I had a lot of respect for. Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce. I mean, those were some bad, bad dudes. Like, people downplaying. T.O. doesn't like me, and me and him, you know, him and I, we've had some disagreements.
But that Super Bowl he had was unbelievable on one leg.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention. I was going to say, there's no way Terrell Owens, you can say what you want about his personality, but this guy should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Agreed.
And you have voters up in there that are mad at him, and that's what I don't agree with. Put your personal feelings aside. If we're going to do it based off of merit and about what this guy did on the football field, this guy was one of the top three or four wide receivers that I thought that I've ever played against. He was an unbelievable football player.
Couldn't have said it any better. Talking to Rodney Harrison, Football Night in America analyst, former New England Patriot and Charger. NBC kicks off the NFL's 100th season with Packers and Bears on September 5th. Let's talk about some football now in terms of 2019. Gronk will not be playing, we think. He announced his retirement. Do you expect Rob Gronkowski to all make an appearance again with the Patriots this year?
I do, and I think, you know, he's going through a time. This is kind of like the twilight, the honeymoon time, where it's summertime, it's May. You know, the weather is changing. He's going to be, you know, a lot of people are going to be pulling on him. But he'll get to the point the first month of the season, and he'll miss it. And I think if the Patriots are right there in contention, if one of those tight ends might possibly go down, Rob might have the little inkling, maybe I should come back. But I've always said this, and I've said this for the last 2 or 3 years. I said, if I'm the Patriots, I keep Rob Gronkowski. I don't even really play him the first half of the season. I let him work out. I constantly let him work on his body. And, of course, he practices, but then eventually I implement him in the offense, because I think you can't expect him to play 16 games. If he plays the second half of the season, he comes back when everybody else is tired, he's fresh, he's healthy, and possibly you can get a lot of good production out of him during the playoffs. But I do believe that he'll be back eventually if the Patriots, and I think they will be in contention.
When we see the rest of the AFC, a team that there's a lot of excitement with are the Cleveland Browns. They had a good season last year. They get Odell in the offseason. What do you think the ceiling is for the Browns this year, Rodney?
I think the first thing they have to do is, if they want to be like the Patriots, they have to shut up. You don't need Odell Beckham talking about he's trying to be like the Patriots. Just shut up and play, okay? You're a great individual player, but that's what they have. They have a lot of great individual players. It takes time to build chemistry, to build trust, to build that camaraderie. So just because you have a great – like, remember when Philly had Vince Young and all these superstars?
The dream team, yeah.
Yeah, Osawa, they brought him in, and they ended up, I think it was like 8-8. They were like an average team. People think that individual talent, no, this is the ultimate team sport. You need guys to learn and to trust one another and to be able to have that camaraderie. When you don't have it, it's very difficult to win. But I do believe that the Cleveland Browns will be that team that's 9-7, between 8-8 and 9-7. I don't see them as being a 10-6 team. I think this division has gotten a lot better as well.
And the division's interesting because the Steelers lose A.B. and Le'Veon Bell. However, they still have Big Ben, Juju, and Connor. And then you take a look at the Ravens. They added Ingram and Earl Thomas. So who do you lean towards to win that division right now?
Man, I think it's between the top three teams that you talked about. If I'm leaning toward one, I'm probably leaning toward the Baltimore Ravens because of the addition of Earl Thomas. I think he really gives them a playmaking safety, some speed, athleticism, over, say, Eric Weddle, who was there, and I think Eric is a fine safety. Also, Mark Ingram. Yeah, I think I just love his tough inside running. I thought that was a big mistake by the New Orleans Saints letting him go.
But can Lamar Jackson take it to the next level? Like, what do you think he has to improve on this year, and how do you evaluate his game right now?
Well, I think obviously he's going to have to work on his passing and his accuracy and things like that. But I do believe that he gained so much confidence last year, and I think they designed an offense around him. Now they went out and drafted the young kid. He's got some speed. So run the ball, play physical, slow the game down, force the defense to defend not only your weapons on the outside, but force the defense to defend the quarterback, a running quarterback, an athletic quarterback. I do believe that he's going to be a lot better, but defenses are now more familiar with him. So now they're going to show him different looks. They're going to blitz him. They're going to try to scheme him where they try to confuse him. I think this is a good young quarterback. I think he's going to continue to get better. I think the most important thing we have to understand that is this kid wants to be a great passer. He doesn't want to be known as a running quarterback. And plus, we've seen examples of Michael Vick and RG3 and a lot of these scrambling quarterbacks not make it very long because of injuries.
Let me ask you two more questions with Rodney Harrison, who joins us right now on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. In the NFC East, a lot of people are going to look at the Eagles and the Cowboys. There's also going to be a lot of conversation on paying Carson Wentz and paying Dak Prescott, as Wentz will be on his fifth-year option next year. And Prescott, it's talked about the $30 million contract. He's a free agent at the end of the year. How do you evaluate that NFC East right now, as a lot of people are going to forget about the Redskins and the Giants too?
Well, they should. I mean, what has the Redskins or the Giants
nothing.
Done?
Nothing. No, yeah, it's a two-team race.
Right. So to me, you know, like Dak Prescott, you know, I'm one of those, if I'm Jerry Jones, I'm not paying him $30 million a year. I'm looking at Dak and saying, look, I want to pay you. You're going to make $25 million a year, but we got to leave some space open so we can have an option to sign some other guys. I like Amari Cooper. I'm not in love with Amari Cooper. I think he's more of a good number two receiver as opposed to a number one, but I don't go out. Do I sign Amari Cooper right now to $20 million? I wouldn't. I would let him play this year out, and if he's really, really good this year, then I'll look to extend him. But, heck, if you want, you can let him play this year, franchise him next year, and see what happens after that. You don't have to pay these guys. It's the same as Ezekiel Elliott. He has this year, next year, and you could put the franchise tag on him. So why would you want to go out and try to pay all these guys right now? I just wouldn't do it. And they just paid DeMarcus Lawrence $105 million.
How would you approach Wentz? Because when Wentz is healthy, I think he's an MVP, but the problem is he's never healthy. So how would you approach that contract?
Well, you said when he's healthy. That was a couple years ago when he had that MVP, kind of his first year, right? He was a rookie.
Second year.
When he was playing. Yeah, second year, my fault. I like him. I like Wentz, man. And you hate to see somebody get injured and maybe he just had a bad string of injuries. But I do believe that, you know, he's that guy. He's going to be worth that $25, $35 million that they pay him. But why rush into signing a contract now? It's going to be an undervalued contract. And if I'm him, I'm looking at the organization, the fans, and the players and saying, look, I don't need a contract right now. Let me go out here and prove myself. You don't have to give me a contract. Let me go out there and earn my contract, because he's going to be a very highly paid man anyway.
Number 37, Rodney Harrison, newest member of the Patriots Hall of Fame. Rodney, my friend, it was an honor to watch you play. Thank you for carving out some time with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Appreciate you. Take care.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.